There comes a time when it's more than just fantasy, when it's more than just a dream. There comes a time when you are the coach. Those players out there taking huge hits, smashing sixes and kicking goals, they're your players. It's your pride on the line, all in the name of bragging rights. When the time comes, there is only one place to turn. There is only OTLS Fantasy Sports Radio.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to the end of Bye Round 1, or as I like to call it, the Devil's Round. We have navigated some well, some poorly that first round of the byes. Now we are here to tell us all about how no planning helped immensely by Archie. Welcome again.
Thanks, Zano. Good to be back and back recording on a Monday morning, public holiday over here in WA, which is awesome. But all you Eastern Staters can laugh at us next week when it's a public holiday and we've got to be at work.
Yeah, as long as we're not locked down, mate. It's you know, poor Melbourneites.
Must be tough. Very true. But yes, Zano, bye rounds. Exactly zero planning has gone into it. And I did okay this week.
Yeah.
And I'm looking okay for the week coming up.
Yeah, I think everyone
the will. Last week, though, is, I think, like many people, now that that Eagles game's been moved, is going to be a problem. Going to be a big problem.
It's interesting. I'm sitting really well. This was the first week was always going to be my tough week. I was always in trouble this week. I had 18 guys. We'll get to some of that stuff in a little while. In fantasy, the other formats were fine. And I was always in strife, but I scrambled. And I got lucky with 18 because I had Tracy and Scott, who both came in. I thought Tracy might be dropped. So I scratched to 18 and actually went up in rankings. So in AF. So I was pretty happy with that, where I'm now set up my next two rounds, including that round 14 with the changes to the buys. I'll probably be playing 21-22 that week. So I'm pretty happy at the moment, Arch. I'm pretty happy at the moment. I got lucky. So, but we'll see how that keeps panning out.
Yeah, I went up in ranking as well, Zona, but that's not hard given where I'm sitting. So with some absolutely horrendous rookie scores and some injuries, which didn't help. Luckily, none of them were affecting my team, but there's a fair bit to go through. So Friday and Saturday, Zano, was actually pretty cruisy, I've got to admit. So Friday night, Ryan Lester, he got subbed off with a hammy, replaced by the barometer. And then on Saturday, so we had three games on Saturday.
Yes.
And we had Mason Wood did a hammy again. He was replaced by Tom Highmore, who I believe got, I didn't actually see that game, but I believe he got a little bit injured as well, hopefully, given his score. And then Mr. Phil In, he was subbed out at halftime with a jaw injury, replaced by Callum Brown. That was it for the first two nights, Zano. First 2 days.
Not
I
too
thought,
bad.
Oh, yeah, we're cruising here. Then we get to quote you too, Sunday, bloody Sunday, Zana, with both of our teams playing, plus the Frio Dockers just going down in a crashing pile here. So started off, I think actually Brad Shepherd was the first one to go off.
He was.
He had an accidental head clash with Adam Saad. He got subbed off for Jermaine Jones. Then maybe 3 or 4 minutes after that, Harry McKay came crashing down in a pack mark. He got subbed off with concussion as well. He tried to headbutt the ground. He was replaced by Jack Nunes. Then Nick Newman, later in the game, did his best Harry McKay impression and also left the ground with a concussion.
Yep.
That one looked pretty bad, Zano. What did you think of that Nick Newman one? That's the scary one.
Yeah, that was the worst of the lot. Mind you, I think both him and Shep both got up unable to walk properly. So I think the Shep one was just as scary. Look, all three of them were shockers. I don't know. Carlton got the bye this week, so those guys should be cleared within the 12 days if they're okay. Of course, Shep will miss next week because he'll be playing and he'll have to sit down for 12. So it's going to be interesting.
The Eagles definitely could have done with the bye this round, and we would have had probably a few extra come in for the round 14, but it is what it is. You can only go with the guys that
you've got available,
that are on the park.
You've also missed the one there. I don't know how bad it was. I was watching that game obviously, and was it Liam Ryan and his hammy?
Yeah,
and what happened there? I'm not sure what happened there.
I didn't put that in because it actually looked a little bit more like cramp.
Yeah.
Because he was on the pickle juice on the bench yep, there.
And got a heap of heat into
it. And he did come back on. But, yeah, it's one of those ones, given that he's been out recently with injury.
Yeah.
Again, they may look to be a little bit cautious with him this week leading into the Richmond game.
Keep an eye on it, for sure. Not that he's overly fantasy relevant, but still that's, something to watch.
Absolutely. All right. And then we move on to the Bulldogs and Freo game. So Steph Martin, he popped the shoulder there in a collision there in a bump. They tried to put him back on and he did it again. He should never have gone back on. So
exactly.
He was subbed off, replaced by Riley West. Griffin Logue, he hurt his leg in a contest and was subbed off. Now, I never know which is it, Tobe or Toby?
I don't know. I think it's going to be Tobe, doesn't it? There's no Y Tobe. There.
Yeah, we'll go with Tobe Watson. Tobe. Then Nat Fyfe, he also busted a shoulder in a contest and sat out most of the last quarter. And I believe it's actually the same shoulder he had reconstructed a little while ago.
Yeah,
so that's got to be a big concern there.
Yep.
Sean Darcy, he had ice on the hammy at the end of the game. And given his injury history, you'd expect probably 2 to 3 weeks there. I think, they'll be a little bit cautious and it's probably good. I think they've got the bye this week as well.
No, next
actually,
week.
Actually, no, they don't.
They don't.
No,
so,
they don't.
Yeah.
So I would expect him to miss this week.
Yep.
And another tall going down, Zona.
Yeah, I know.
Brandon Cox did a high hammy, and this one was so bad, Zeno, they didn't even bother icing it up. He was just on the bench, down the back, and he was done. So it's likely, when it's like that, it's likely off the bone, and we're looking at surgery, probably 6 to 8 weeks for Brandon Cox.
At least,
it's really interesting. You know, Freo have had just an absolutely horrific run with injuries. Out of the 12 rounds, Zeno, they've used the medical sub 10 times, which is the highest in the competition. And all these tall defenders going down. I think it's Pierce that's coming back at the moment through the WAF.
He's had a couple
of
awful games.
To bring him in. But again, given his injury history, you wouldn't want to rush it. So, you know, me and you could get a game at this point, Zeno, and that's a worry.
Yeah, Long Newer gave me a bell, asked me to play forward pocket, small forward, bit of pressure, but I don't think I'll be available, Arch. You want to talk about injuries? Yeah, that would be interesting. It's frustrating because I think Freo have got a really good young list. I think there's so much potential there. And don't get me wrong, even watching their young guys with the injuries around them, you know, you can see the quality that they've got coming through. I just want to see them get a run at it, you know, and see how they go. Because this will be the second or third year in a row injuries have just decimated them. So, they're still good enough to sit sort of middle of the pack, middle of the table, with half a team. So, you know, I'm with you. I want to see them have a good run at it, and hopefully it'll be the next year or two for sure.
My concern, Zeno, is there are a lot of injuries out of that game. And look, I must admit, I don't have the data to back it up. Just more of an observational thing. But that last game, the late game at Optus, when it's starting to get a little bit dewy and that sort of thing, I'm a bit concerned about the quality of footy that was happening because it's a bit like Gold Coast there at times there at night where it gets very slippery, but also the amount of injuries that are coming out of that. And obviously the Eagles and Richmond play in that time slot, if not a little bit later this week. So I'm a little concerned about, A, the fantasy scoring, and, B, the injuries that might come out of that.
Well, Saturday night at the ground, we'll come to that in a little while as well, it didn't look good, Arch. The ground looked quite chopped up. It looked slimy in certain areas, in the forward 50, you know. It's an interesting prospect they've put there because the grass there has been mixed with artificial turf as well, and it makes it quite hard. Now, I remember at one stage a few years ago, they were putting that anti-dew stuff on top of the ground before a game. Now, I don't know if they're still doing that, but definitely noticed a lot of people Saturday night as well were going down. There was actually a couple of reports written up on it. And,
yeah, right.
And again yesterday. And also we know that ground, it tends to deliver a lot of lower leg injuries if you use it a lot because it's so hard. So, yeah, I don't know what they're doing there, but I'm with you, Arch. It's an interesting one at Optus at the moment. Great stadium, but yeah, I'm just not so sure about the surface at the moment.
Yeah, no, fair enough, Zano, fair enough. And suspensions this week. Look, we've got one that's relevant and one that may happen. We're recording quite early on Monday, so we haven't seen anything as yet.
Yep, so obviously the relevant one was Dane Zorko got his 1 week free striking on Friday night. Now, I haven't seen or heard that they're going to challenge that arch, and it doesn't look like they will. No. So he'll take a week. He'll have another week off with the bye. So he might have to be a trade. Mind you, in saying that, they've got the bye the second week. So with so many players available now this week, you might be able to hold him.
I'm tossing up with that one as well. So yeah, we'll see.
It all depends on how many guys you're going to be able to have for that round 14. He might be one that you can hold. And then Nathan Wilson, we're just waiting to hear whether he's going to be in trouble for his, we'll call it the nut punch, Arch. And it wasn't even really a punch. He used his forearm, but God, he got him and gave away the 50. So, yeah, we'll wait and see. But I'd imagine he'll probably get a week for that if you were to put money on it, which means he'll either get 3 weeks or not even looked at. So that's that. Now, we're going to have a quick chat about the buy planning for round 13, Arch. I don't know why we plan anything these days, but, you know, we'll continue to try. So what we know, unless you've been living under a rock, we know the Eagle-Richmond game's been moved forward around from 14 to 13. It means that only four teams had the buys in round 13. But then, of course, it means we've got eight in round 14. So we need to be very wary. Now's the time you've got to make sure you're planning ahead a little bit and working through that. Supercoach have already announced that they have increased from 30 to 32 trades for the season. And they're giving an extra... No, they're not giving... They're only giving three trades a week at this stage, but they've given an extra couple of trades. And we're expecting...
I think, Zano, with that one, what you'll find is we'll have three trades this week and then four next week.
Next week,
would be my gut feel. I haven't seen anything on that yet.
That's what they're hoping for. And then DT will follow that as well, we expect. We're just waiting to hear on that. AF Fantasy hasn't really said much to this stage, but the talk is they'll likely give us an extra trade leading into round 14. So nothing extra this week, but one extra for the following week. But we're just waiting to hear on that, so watch that space. All formats have confirmed they're still going to be best 18. And then, of course, so you know, you've got then the games to come. You've got Port versus Geelong on the Thursday night. So be aware that we've got a Thursday game this week.
Yeah, 100%. And all these are, as we say, as Monday morning, these all could change, especially this, the Melbourne teams.
Exactly.
They're the ones that could really change there.
Yep. So, yeah, Sydney Hawthorn, which will be played in... Oh, so that first game's in Adelaide. Sydney Hawthorn on the Friday night in Sydney. Frio Gold Coast, Saturday Arvo in Perth, which I haven't got the time for that one top of my head. Saints Adelaide Saturday night in Cairns. Wow. Yeah, do not pick anybody from St Kilda or Adelaide. That is going to be playing soap in the bath. North versus GWS Sunday Arvo at Blundstone Arena. So that's interesting, isn't it? They're going to go to Tassie. Okay.
It was always fixtured there, Zano. So it's North that's obviously the problem.
Yes, yes.
They've been given an exemption there to travel in and out there on that Sunday.
Nice. Oh, so they'll be doing the day trip. Okay. And then you've got West Coast versus Richmond on Sunday night, of course. That'll be over at Optus in Perth. That's the one brought forward. And then, of course, you've got the Freeze MND game, which is Melbourne versus Collingwood, which will actually be, because of the public holiday that you mentioned, Arch, the Monday Arvo.
Yep.
The game's going to be in Sydney. The slide will still be in Melbourne. So there's going to be a bit going on there.
We'll be at work, Zano, and probably unable to watch.
Yes, unless the flu kicks in. So...
you're looking a bit rough there, Zano.
I can feel it coming on. That's really handy for us as well, because there's plenty of loop options there for the for that game in Melbourne and Collingwood. So plenty of captain options out of that game there, Arch.
Yep.
And outside of that, even probably the most I'll be running with that, and then playing a Vice anywhere else. You know, North versus GWS and Blundstone, Taranto, Zeebel, Hall, you know, you've got so many guys that you can run on that, so that's cool. Of course, Brisbane...
Josh, Josh, Josh Kelly, but no, he's GWS, not Gold Coast. I'm just thinking what took Miller against Freo could be a very, very good pick up there. They'll probably send Sarong to him, I would think.
Yeah. Oh, look, Josh Kelly could be great against North as well in Blunstone. So, and then the buys. Be
a captain option,
exactly. Buys of Brisbane, Essendon, Carlton, the Bulldogs, right? So, we know that sort of the round. It's going to be an easy round from a fantasy point of view, Arch. In fact, I'm looking at the moment, and there's a chance I might have one or two bench players. So
I'm the same, Zona.
You know, so we'll just wait and see who gets named and who doesn't in some of the lower end guys and go from there.
Yep.
What you gonna do, Gary?
Show me the money!
Congratulations, you're still my agent.
Cool. All right, Zona. Now, we're not going to do the normal chart of value this week. So what you're going to do is take us through some players to look at who are coming off the bye, and then we'll have a look at some rookies who you can look to bring in this week as well.
That's right, Arch. There's not much point looking at value during the buys. There's not much out there, to be completely honest.
There's not. I was looking last night after lockout, and she's slim pickings, that's for
sure.
She
is. So what I'm going to do here is, Arch, we've got a list of maybe 10 prems and about 5 to 6 rookies. We're going to have a quick of a look here, Arch, and we're going to just quickly mention each one and see what you think about bringing him in or not bringing him in at this stage. So, Took Miller, his break even is about what you'd expect from him.
Yep. He's fully priced and everything like that, but he's up that high for a reason.
Yep.
I don't mind. It's still relatively low ownership. You don't see him too much in head-to-head matchups.
No.
And playing Freo, as I said, unless Sarong goes to him, Sarong is turning into a little bit of a pest there. Went to Liberatore.
He did.
And just made his life hell for the first half. He came good in the second half there. Mm. But that would be my concern there with Took Miller.
My only other concern, and I haven't looked at this yet, and I don't know how much it would hit him, but Matty Rao can't be far away from coming back either. So I don't know. I know they play different roles. So just be wary that there might be some impact on him when Matty Rao comes back. So keep that in mind. Mitch Duncan, Arch.
Don't mind it. Obviously, you've got Dangerfield coming back in there. So it'll be interesting to see how he is affected. And also, I'm crossing my fingers that Guthrie might play as well, who was a late out from the last game before their bye there.
Yep.
So, again, he's fully priced. I think you can find someone a little bit better. But, you know, it's not a bad selection. He's going to go 100 to 110 for the rest of the season.
Yep. The reason I put him in red, and I should have mentioned that, Arch, is because his break-even is huge because of that injury.
Yeah, right.
So, I want him for at some stage. In most formats, but I'd hold off for a little bit yet because he's going to drop in price a fair bit. So, all right, Tim Taranto. For me, that's an easy one, Arch. He's just consistent. If you haven't got him, he's about priced at and break even about where you'd expect. If you need someone consistent, you get him. Cam Guthrie there, Arch.
Yeah, so he'll be priced pretty high. Again, he's been absolutely smashing it whilst Dangerfield has been out.
Mm.
So keep an eye on the injury, obviously. I'd be looking one more week there just to see if he comes back in. And if he does come back in, are they going to limit his minutes due to the injury, that sort of stuff. So not this week.
Yeah, no, I'd hold off a little bit as well on that one too. Jack Zeeble.
Don't mind it. He's been a little bit quieter since he's been going off, probably 3 or 4 weeks ago, but he's still averaging a solid, I think, 99 to 100 there. Forward back flexibility, I don't mind it at all.
Yeah, I like it as well. What I like about him as well is with someone like Aaron Hall, which we'll get to, you can have one back, one forward, and have a fair bit of flex there. So he's one that I don't mind because of that. Ollie Wines, Arch, now he's gone under the radar a lot lately. I reckon he's got to have a pretty decent break even as well. I quite like it. He's just floating around nicely at the moment.
Yeah, I've actually looked to bring him in. Break even of 103.
Yeah, so about square. You're not going to make much or lose much regardless. Right. So,
averaging 105. So, he's been very nicely and, you know, in a midfield that's been pretty much fully operational for the season. So, having a very, very nice season there.
Absolutely. Now, Tom Mitchell Arch, he is coming off a really poor game. So, his break even's going to be reasonably high. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, the problem is that he's not as consistent as he has been over the, you know, the Brownlow years and that sort of thing there. So whilst you're still getting your 120s every now and then, he's still getting, you know, a few games here and there with 35, 40 possessions. You're also getting those, I think, what did he have, a 66 or a 68 or something,
Really
leading
poor
into the bye. It's a worry. I think, you know, I'd actually prefer, and it's, you know, it's almost fantasy sacrilege to say it, but I'd actually prefer an Ollie Wines or a Tim Taranto over him.
Yeah, I'm looking at bringing him in, but when he bottoms out. So he's going to lose. Look, with that score that he had, that'll roll through for the 2 or 3 weeks, I'm expecting him to drop probably $50,000, $60,000 more. I think he's a 100 to 105 averaging player now, Arch, to be honest. And that's fine. But, yeah, I'd be holding off just by the simple fact that his break-even's going to be pretty high and expect him to drop a little bit in the coming weeks. Now, this one, Arch, Lockie Whitfield, he's the one to chase for me at the moment. I don't have his break even. I don't know if you've got it up at the moment.
102, Zeno. Yeah. 102, averaging 104.
Yep, so he's basically ready to be plucked now.
Yep.
So he's the one. I'd definitely be looking at him. I reckon you can wait one more week on him if you have to as well, for the following week when we're going to struggle with players, because he's not going to go up by much. Even if he gets 110, he's not going to go up by much more than 10 grand, you know. So
that's it.
If you're chasing, there's some really good rookie prospects which have shown their heads this week. So you might be able to hold off on him a week. Aaron Hall, Arch.
Yeah, I don't mind it. You're now getting him at the top of the tree. But again, my thoughts are, Zeno, if you have both Hall and Zeeble, one of them is going to go off for you. If you only have one of them, it's going to be the other one.
Well, even saying that, neither of them have been a problem. So if one's getting 120, 125, the other one's still getting their 90 to 100, regardless. So for a 90, if that's your, even an 80, 85, if that's your basement for a defender or forward this year, you're taking that every day of the 100%. Week. So I like it coupled with the Jack Zeeble, as we've mentioned before, Arch. I don't mind that. I haven't got Zeeble, but I have got Hall. But Zeeble will be on the radar at some stage.
Hall's break even, Zeno, is also 80. So this is the week to get him. About 4 weeks ago was the week to get him. But you can you're still going to get him at pretty good value there. Yep,
exactly, coming out of the bye. Josh Kelly, Arch. Now, not sure what his break-even was, but he'd be about square. Coming from GWS, look, he's a forward. He's back to scoring well again. He's scoring his 95 to 110 almost every single week. And look, as far as I'm concerned, he's a decent grab at the moment.
Yeah, especially as a forward. So break even 96, averaging 97.
Yep.
You'd know exactly. So he's priced at 739, which is still pretty good value there. Expecting him to go that 105 for the rest of the season there. Now that his role's changed. So, jump on him if you can.
And the last one I've got on the list here, Arch, is Tom Stewart. Now, I reckon his break even's about where he's going to be, but he's so consistent. And he's going to get you through the next 2 weeks of the buys. So he's the other one to keep an eye on.
So Tom Stewart, break even 112, average 97.
Yeah, so there's not much to worry about there. And who have Geelong got this week? I can't remember off the top of my head, but it's just up here. Geelong are playing
Port, I think.
Port Adelaide. Oh, yeah, so that'll be a tough game. But look, if you're needing a defender, there's not many other options there. Oh, there is really Lockie Whitfield and Zeeble and Hall. But I don't mind it because he's a bit underpriced at the moment. All right, Arch, quick chat about some of the rookies. Ned Reeves. Now, he's the only one that's on the bubble in Supercoach and Dream Team. Of course, he's no such thing in fantasy. As far as I'm concerned, he's probably the first guy I'd grab in most formats at the moment.
Yeah, the hard thing is, I know, it's going to depend on your rucks as well. Hey, just quietly, imagine if you went Brody Grundy to Sean Darcy. How'd you be?
Well, yeah, you'd be pretty dirty with that. I've got Sean Darcy in fantasy because he's been great, absolutely brilliant, and he should have gone 120 on the weekend. He's still got a 90 odd, so at least you'll tick that off. But you'd be dirty, and you could have even gone from somebody else. You know, English. You could have started with. He was a fairly popular start. You could have started with Riley O'Brien, the Spat the Chewy, and ditched him. You could have just been chasing your tail. So yeah, pretty nice. But nah, Ned Reeves for me, I like it. I don't mind it. He's going to get the next 2 weeks in, especially that last week. So He's the one for me.
Yep.
Now, the next four arch are fairly interesting. So Trent Bianco is still slightly underpriced. Look, I probably wouldn't go there now. I reckon you've missed the boat. I'd be looking for more value elsewhere. But if you're desperate for a defender, he's definitely one to jump on.
Yeah, I like Bianco Zeno. Yeah. I think that... So he's averaging 74 with a break-even of zero, priced at 249.
Mm.
Now, 249 is what we're paying at the start of the season for those top rookies.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I just think that if he can afford the extra cash, I think his job security is a lot better than the other guys. I think it's worth paying the extra 50-odd grand, 60 grand, if you can afford it and if you don't have him already.
Yeah, I reckon you're going to be desperate to get there because the other issue is he then has that buy in that last round, yep. So the round 14. So that's what worries me more. So if you've already got him, you've got him. But yeah, he's a bit of a concern. The next three arch, I think. So we've got Joel. I think it's pronounced Amati,
yep.
From Sydney. He's been good. Another ruck, I think a ruck forward, if I was remembering
he
right.
He played really well, Zano, from what I saw of the game. He played really well.
Yep. And then you've got Luke Edwards and Luke Foley from the Eagles.
Yep.
Look, the concern for Amati and Bianco, or the concern for all four of them.
All of them, yeah.
Is that they got that bye in round 14. And look, I think Amati and Bianco, as you said, I think their job security is pretty solid at the moment. Edwards and Foley is solid until the Eagles get a few guys back into that midfield. In saying that, nobody's close. Everybody's sort of 3, 4, 5 weeks away from getting back in there. So they've probably got, you know, 4 or 5 weeks up their sleeve. Maybe a little bit more, depending on how many games guys play in the seconds and the likes. So, look, I definitely like Amati, I like Edwards, and I like Foley. But the big question is whether or not you can wear that round 14 without him.
The problem is, I know, is we've got no rookies, one game coming off the bye in AFL Fantasy. That's the big issue. Even Ned Reeves in AFL Fantasy, he's priced at 245.
Yep.
I think if you're at the point where you're looking at doing a downgrade from a Matty Flynn or something like that to get the cash, then you could do it. But apart from that, like, I'm not sidewaysing Paul Hunter to him.
No.
Simply because it's going to be an extra 60 grand. I'm not going to have him on the field at least this week.
No.
So I don't think I can do it in AFL Fantasy. In Dream Team and Supercoach, absolutely. I'm all over it.
Being on the bubble.
But not in AFL Fantasy. So to be honest, Zeno, I think we're looking at debutants this week from those teams coming off the bye in AFL Fantasy. I think that's where we've got to look.
And depending on how you're sitting for that round 14, I mean, I am looking at the Amati, Edwards, Foley options as well. Ned Reeves, what I do like about it is we sort of spoke about the 240-odd, but that is his, as you said, that's what we're paying for the top-end rookies, and he gets you through 2 weeks, you know?
Yep.
So that's the other thing to keep in mind on Ned Reeves. In as I said, the other two formats, he's on the bubble, so it's a no-brainer. But in fantasy, you get 2 games out of him, especially in that week 14. So that's why I don't mind that, paying that a little bit extra. Yeah. Look, mate, again, we're just going to have to wait and see who gets named, if there's any debutants this week.
Sounds good, Zeno. So keep an eye on that. Obviously, keep an eye on the socials there where they get those lovely little videos of players playing their first game. So that leads us into the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I might get you to kick off this week, Zeno.
Yep.
So we'll start out with you because I know you had a magnificent Saturday night. So tell us about your good.
So, of course, I got tickets and got to go to the Dreamtime match over in Optus Arch. And, geez, it was well worth it. I mean, as I said, we got on there and we got the tickets we wanted. So... now, as we said, you rarely get a chance in WA, especially to get over to these sorts of things and see spectacles like that. So it's always been on my AFL bucket list, so it's nice to be able to tick that off. And it was a good game of footy too. I know Richmond ran away with it late, but, you know, Essendon weren't out of the game at any stage until the last 10 minutes. So,
the last 10,
Richmond are just Richmond, mate. They put the foot down. It was all over. But it was amazing. The crowd was brilliant. Now, it was also the biggest crowd at Optus this year, which doesn't that say something? You know, we talk a lot about the derbies and things like that, but to get the biggest crowd at Optus this year being two Victorian teams, it might open up the eyes of the AFL a little bit, hopefully.
Hopefully, yeah. I think what happens, Zano, is obviously West Coast and Freo fans get to go to their games every week.
Yeah.
So there's always a few players that, you know, a few members that for whatever reason can't get there each week.
Mm.
But being such a marquee game, and let's face it, Essendon and Richmond, they may come over once a year.
Yeah.
And they never play each other over here.
No.
Apart from, I actually had a look, I think they actually did it last year as well over here, but it have been with no crowds, to be honest, or minimal crowds.
Yep.
So that obviously, you know, what really was interesting was the stark contrast between that game and then the Freo Bulldogs game the next day, where there was, you know, it was probably only at about 80%, to be honest.
28,000 or something was at that game. I remember it was just over half what we saw Saturday night. So, look, it was great to see. It was a sellout. Pretty much, you know, other than a few empty seats you could see around the traps here and there. But what was really interesting is I reckon that half the people there were wearing non-Essendon Richmond gear.
Yeah.
And I reckon only 50% of the crowd would have been Essendon Richmond supporters, if that, you know. So there would have been a lot of one-game supporters, you know. You can't go to a footy go without having one team you want to have see win. So outside of that, though, it was great. But... yeah, it was good to see such a good thing. Now, the other thing I wanted to do was a quick shout-out to the WA government as well, Arch, because they did a lot to make sure that the long walk happened, which we got up early and we went and did that as well. So that started at the WACA and then just walked down across the bridge over to the grounds, only about a K walk. That was exceptional as well. To be able to do that and to be able to see the, you know, Michael Long and Gavin Wanganeen, there was obviously a lot of... There was three or four WA Indigenous, what's the term I'm looking for? Probably heroes of the game, champions of the game from years gone that were involved. It was just great, Arch, to be able to get the entire Dreamtime experience was just brilliant. So, well done to everybody involved. I was impressed, and it's something that hopefully the AFL sees as being an advantage, and who knows what else could happen, Arch.
Well, you never know. It could be still a lockdown around the end of September, Zeno. We might be going to a grand final, paying $200 a seat, but we might be going.
We'll have to see how we go. All right, Arch, that's my good. Now let's go have a look at your good.
So, Zeno, we've had a sook a few times about overlapping games, and this was the first weekend this year where there was no overlapping games, and I loved it. Just being able to watch one game after the other, especially on the Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I did like is, obviously, you mentioned the Dreamtime game there before. It was great to have that as a standalone game on the Saturday night.
Yep.
With no other game competing for eyeballs there. So the focus of the footy world was on that game, as it should be. So it'll be the same again this week, obviously even stretched further with a Thursday and a Monday game, though we do have that extra Sunday game thrown in now. But one after the other this weekend as well. So, absolutely love that.
Yeah, and look, it is something I know that grinds your bones a little bit, Arch, there. But I'm with you. I still don't understand how you have to have overlapping games. I understand the Saturday nights. Right?
I was just going to say, I'll get the Saturday night.
I can get the Saturday night, but to see overlapping games any other time is ridiculous. The AFL want to have as many people watching footy as they can, and to postpone and change a start time by an hour, give me a break. But anyway, it's good to see that, and hopefully it continues, Arch. So, you know, I'm with you. I was glad to see that.
Cool. All right, so enough with the good stuff, Zano. Let's get on to the sooking. What gets your bad this week?
Right, so I mentioned this, Arch. I had to play 18 in AFL Fantasy this week. The other formats I was pretty sweet, but AF I was scraping the barrel. Now I had a pretty decent score. I actually went up rankings by about 600-700 spots, so I'm okay with that. But it involved me having to play Riley O'Connor and Collier Dawkins Arch, who combined for 49. O'Connor 20 and Dawkins 29. Now, yes, there's always those rookies and those guys would have probably been benched or pretty close to it anyway this week, if it was a full round. But when you need guys the most and they knock you out of 20 to 29, that hurts. That's really hurts, Arch. So I'm going to give my bad out to, and there was a couple of other low-end rookies that guys may have had to have run, which I'll get to in a second as well. But, yeah, those two for me in particular, Arch, really went from a decent score to a pretty average score, to be honest.
And what's worse, Zano, is they're going to struggle to hold their spot in the teams this week as well.
Yeah, O'Connor's the issue for me. Dawkins, no worries. I'm moving him on anyway. I was always going to.
Yeah.
But they had the bye coming up this week, but you can still probably afford to do that anyway. But, yeah, Arch, yeah, neither of them are going to hold their spots, I don't think, especially O'Connor. He was atrocious. Atrocious. So, yeah, see what happens there. All right, Arch, where's your bad at?
So my bad, I'm giving it to the team on the top of the ladder, Zano, the Melbourne Footy Club. Now, I was actually struggling for a bad this week because my ugly is very ugly. But my bad, I had a lot of reasonable scores, which really helped out with my ugly scoring. So I was having a look over the data as I do at the end of the round, and Melbourne's fantasy scoring, Zano. So this week was actually their lowest score of the season, which was 1,362 as a team.
Yes.
So Max and Petrarca still had an okay day. They turned up there. But for everyone else, it was pretty gross. You're looking at Oliver, you're looking at Harms, you're looking at Salem, and even Jordan were well below expectations on the day, and they had a win, which is really interesting. So get this, Zano, over the last 3 weeks, they're actually averaging 140 fewer AFL fantasy points than their season average, which... is really starting to hurt. So that's something that I'm starting to track now is, you know, which teams are trending up and which teams are trending down over the last 3 weeks versus their season average.
Yep.
And apart from Gold Coast, these guys are at the bottom end of the spectrum there. So hopefully, Zano, hopefully they'll be able to turn it around on Monday in that the Freeze MND game.
Yes.
And, I mean, it is Collingwood, let's face it. So I'm expecting a big turnaround. In hopefully bright sunshine at the SCG, I think we decided it was at. So hopefully we can see him turn around. But just worth noting for this week, I think.
Look, I was looking at a few guys like Oliver. A lot of guys might even be looking to go to Gawn from Grundy.
Yeah.
Going to be interesting to see. Yeah, I don't know what's going on there. The funny thing with it, though, Arch, is I'm just quickly having a look at the scores now from that game. It's not like anybody out of the normal stood up and got points. So, you know, quite often you can see somebody, I mean, someone like, what's his name? Matheson, I know he was a sub. He could go and tag Oliver out of a game, or he could tag Petrarca out of the game, you know? But if that happens, you'll see somebody like a Harms or a Jordan or even a Trent Rivers or somebody like that that can get into the midfield, and they'll get an extra heap of points than what they would normally get, but it just didn't happen, did it?
I'm just looking at Melbourne scoring, Zano, just in a little bit more detail while we're here.
Yep.
Now, up until round 7, if I quickly do their average, they were averaging, 1,660?
Yep.
And then from round 8 onwards, they've actually had, it looks like probably... Yes, so they've actually had their 5 lowest scores in the last 5 rounds.
Yep. Yeah. Okay.
So they're averaging 1,470 over the last 5.
Interesting to know.
Which is, you know, it's not a 1 or 2 game thing. It's a bit of a trend there. 1,362 this round was obviously their lowest.
Yep.
But yeah, it's definitely something to keep in mind.
Changed my thoughts on a few things, that's for sure.
Cool. All right. Now, I think with our ugly, Zano, our heads were both in the same space here. So what we're going to do is combine them. So why don't you take us through the ugly for both of us?
Right. So what my ugly is, Arch, I'm just going to call it the rookie wall. And it hit again hard this week.
Oh, mate.
Couldn't it have come at a worse time as well? The round when you need them the most. So... I'm going to rattle off probably there's 5 guys in particular that were really bad on the weekend, Arch. I mean, really bad.
Yep.
So Chad Warner had a 37 in Dream Team and a 39 in Supercoach. Tom Highmore, the guy that we've held for 10 weeks of the year, and now granted he was a sub, but he did come on at quarter time, scored 21 and 17. That was uninjured too, by the way, Arch. I know you mentioned earlier you thought he might have been injured. No, yep. He wasn't. That was fully played. Yeah. James Rowe had a 38 and a 32. A lot of would have been running with him this week and last week. As we mentioned, sort of touched on, Riley Collier-Dawkins, who's been really good, a 29 and a 27. Yep. And Harrison Jones from Essendon, not highly owned, but still highly owned enough, had a 17 and a 17. That is disastrous. You could have had to have taken two or three, maybe four of those scores if you were struggling this week. So that was really poor, Arch. Now, you're going to jump into that as well for me. And, as you said, your ugly lead straight into it. So we'll jump straight on to that.
Yeah, so I was lucky enough to have 20 on the field zoner. So I had to drop. I was able to drop O'Connor and Collier-Dawkins scores. Yep. Maybe Claverino as well. I had Claverino. I bought him in this week for 25.
Yeah.
So, he was that last minute trade in, just needed some cash sort of thing. And wow, didn't that come and bite me in the bum? But it was absolute carnage this week, and it's reflected in the break evens for those guys now.
Yeah. As I said, I had O'Connor and Dawkins, whose scores I had to take. I got pretty lucky though, Arch, because I also had Scott, because I only had the 18. So my other two rookies that I was really worried about going on Sunday, and I thought I'm in a lot of strife here, was Scott from the Bulldogs. Now, he had a 24-point first quarter, which I was stoked with. He then managed to score another 23 points for the game.
Oh, dear. Yep.
So that is just, I mean, he got a 47, so not quite disastrous, but, I mean, he's only going sort of 50-55 anyway, so it's about your expectations, but that was bad. And the other one I had, Arch, was Tracy from Fremantle.
Yep.
I call him the drunken giraffe. I think we've mentioned that before. I was expecting, if I was lucky, I would have scraped a 30 out of him.
Yep.
He had an absolute blinder and cracked out a 65. So I'm probably grateful that Tabner missed that game. It was a late out. That made the difference. But that could have been a disaster as well. For him to get 65, which is about three times what he's averaging, saved me, because that could have been really bad too, Arch, having to take those two scores if they were 20-odd as well. So, it was a rough week for it. And then, of course, a couple of guys that were just disaster, just absolutely awful, like Lachie Neal, Tom Mitchell. Oh, sorry, he didn't play his week before, but Lachie Neal was disastrous. Who else was there? Even guys like Nat Fyfe, who's reasonably well-owned. Yep. And, he had an absolute shocker. The Bulldogs guys were good without being superb in some of them, Caleb Daniel tagged again this week for an 80-odd or close to it. It was a strange, strange end of the round, Arch. Michael Walters, that a few people picked up, mid-40s, uninjured. So, some interesting things going on there, Arch. And, we just have to wait and see what happens from there, I think.
Yeah, hopefully it's not the same again this week, Zona.
Well, we should be all right this week with best 18s and most games, so we'll see how we go. Should I stay or should I go now? If I go, there will be trouble. All right, Arch, that leads us on to what are we going to do about it. Now, as we sort of said, it's been tough, so we're going to get into the should I stay or should I go. And, of course, Arch, up first, I want you to sort of run through your expectations and trades at this
stage. It's a little bit hard, Zana, because, as we say, we're recording Monday morning, so I haven't fully been able to work through things. So these are more just what I'm... overall thoughts about what I'm looking to do. So in AFL Fantasy, before trades, I'll have 22 on the field. So I'll be looking to cash up there. Again, what concerns me is that if I've got 22 on the field this week, it means it's going to hurt next week.
Can do, yeah.
So obviously I'm going to need to look to trade out at least one potentially playing around for someone who's playing this week but not playing next week. I'm going to need to look to hit them out this week as well, just to get a little bit ahead of the curve. Dream team, I've got 14 trades left leading into this week. So I didn't trade at all last week in Dream Team and Supercoach, which tells you a little bit about how my season's going. I've got 21 players that could possibly play.
Yeah.
But probably only 19 because I've got Bruin and Finn McRae. So I also have Zorko in this format. And so the big question there will be, you know, am I going to move him on or hold him? I'll have to work through that one this week. I will look to move Flynn onto Reeves in that format. And then Zorko potentially onto Wines if I do look at trading him out. And then I've got enough cash in the bank to go Harry Jones up to Jack Zeeble. Yeah, so I'm looking at using three trades there with that one.
I was just going to say, though, with the you're talking about the issues for the round 14, is it worth hanging on to Flynn? Because he's had his bye.
Yes, potentially. But one way or the other, only one of them's going to probably play on the field. Because just looking at my rucks as my phone slowly loads up here, I've got that many different teams. So I've got Max Gawn and Riley O'Brien. Yep. So they will both have the bye. So it's pretty much going to be one. I'm only going to have one player on the field anyway. So it might as well be Reeves and I might as well cash up this week. That's my thinking there.
Yeah, okay, yep.
And then in Supercoach, I've got 15 trades here, 22 on the field. Nick Cox to Reeves via some DPP action there, and then Rowe to Hall. Just to, bit of an upgrade there. Because you always want to come, you don't want to do a lot of sideways trading. And apart from Zorko, who's injured there, suspended.
Yep.
I'm not looking to do any sideways action at all this week.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, the only sideways trading you want to do is, for injured players or things like that. Yep. I always try and do, in the first two rounds, I always try and do, well, super coach and dream team with limited trades, it's different. You want to hold your trades as best as you can. With fantasy, I always try and do downgrade, upgrade. And then I try and have enough cash from sort of leading into it to do a downgrade, upgrade, or something similar to that. There may need to be a downgrade extra and then the upgrades in there somewhere as well. But, that's how I always try and plan it. So, yeah, you're right. I've always planned, always hoped to come out of the buys looking a lot better than going in. I think that's your best opportunity to really take a jump on your team. So, yeah, it's an interesting strategy, that's for sure.
All right. So what are you looking at this week, Zano?
So for me in fantasy, again, I'm anticipating three trades. So
you might as well. Let's use them or lose them.
Yeah, well, that's it. But, I mean, I'm not expecting to get a fourth trade this week. Sorry, that's what I mean
by
that.
I see what you mean.
We're only going to get the three. So Brockman, Frederick, and Bergman will go for me. Now, a couple of those guys are coming off the buys, but they're just all three of them are coming off the buys. But they're not playing. At any stage, I don't think even Bergman's getting back in any time soon. So I can't use them for round 14, so I'm looking to get rid of them. I'm doing a triple downgrade. I'm hoping to do a triple downgrade. So Reeves, Armati, and Foley in. Edwards is on the radar as well. So he may come in for Reeves because we sort of spoke about Reeves being a little bit pricey, but I need to have a look at the numbers for that final round and I might need Reeves for that if I'm bringing in an Armati and a Foley. So we'll watch on that. I do have Sean Darcy in this format, Arch. So that's something else I need to keep an eye on. I'm hoping it's maybe a two-weeker. And if that's the case, I can quite comfortably hold him because he would have had his bye anyway in that time. Because I really like the structure that I've got in place with him there. To be honest, I think I hold him this week regardless because I've got plenty of players that are going to be playing. And then the following week, the obvious move is probably him to Tim English right now. Because English
especially
is coming off.
Steph's out.
Yeah, with Steph out and English coming off a really good game, his break even is going to drop. So that's probably the move. But of course, the Dogs have got the bye this week, so I'm not doing it this week. So I may hold Darcy for a week. And then if we get the four trades the following week, that's a sideways trade you can get away with. And you know what? English may even come in that weekend anyway somewhere. So we'll wait and see what happens there. So yeah, that's what I've got to watch there. In Supercoach Arch, I'm going to use two trades, which is Goulden and Collier Dawkins out for Reeves and Whitfield. I think Whitfield's ready to jump.
Yep.
Dream team, it's going to be Scott and McNeil out. And I'm looking at Reeves, and I've got to toy up which other rookie I want to bring in. So again, all those other three are going to be on the buys. So it may even be a guy that comes in this week for his first game. Hopefully, so he gets that's playing the following week as well. So from those six teams, so we'll see how we go there, Arch. But Dream Team, I've got a bit of work to do there. So that's cool. Now we've got no questions this week, Arch. We didn't get a chance to plug them because it's early Monday morning. But again, we want to thank all the listeners for tuning in. Anything you want, you can hit me up at OTSZano. And of course, overthelinesports.com.au, which is brought to you by Check My House Price. And a big shout out to our friends in Victoria, guys. Just keep staying safe over there.
Yep, and you can get me at OTLSArchie on Twitter. Hit us up, always happy. Seeing as we didn't get to do questions, hit us up with any questions on Twitter and we'll come back that way. We do mention it every week, but if you are struggling a little bit, please give Lifeline a call on 13 11 14. There's always somebody there to listen and have a chat. And please hit us up on Apple Podcasts. Give us a 5-star rating and review. And not just us, but all the fantasy podcasts that you do listen to.
Exactly. And look, best around everybody for this week. I think this week's the easy one. Well, it is the easy one. Definitely got to start planning for round 14 if you haven't already. So
100%.
Good luck, and we will talk again next week.
OTLS Sports, giving you the analysis and advice you need to get over the line.